Well, as we begin a new year this Sunday, I think that probably as we look ahead to the coming year, there's no valuable virtue that we could have to guide us in this coming year than the wisdom of Almighty God. And the book of Proverbs is really the supreme example of wisdom literature. So what I'd like for us to do this morning to kind of launch us in the new year is to turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3 and look at some very familiar verses that no doubt we have memorized many, many moons ago, verses 5 and 6, and use this as a New Year's meditation to encourage our faith and give us some godly wisdom as we approach the coming new year. I think everyone lacks wisdom in one area of our life or another. And he who lacks wisdom and desires to have more of God's wisdom, let him turn in here to the book of Proverbs and graze his soul upon the food of God's truth. So I'll read for you Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And we'll see what we might glean from this passage this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, written by Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." The venue, the context of these two verses is that of a godly father who is giving wise counsel to his son. And in the midst of this wise counsel, Solomon has already taught that wisdom is a gift of God. It's a God-given blessing. But that blessing is also given to those through the means of searching for God's wisdom as one searches for hidden treasures. And basically what we see in this passage is that Solomon is describing life as a journey. We're all on a path, as he says. And as believers, of course, we are all on the pathway to heaven by the grace of God. But on this path, we are strangers and we are aliens and we're on a pilgrimage. Very much like John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian is on a path to the celestial city. All of us equally are on a path, and that path is going to take us somewhere. Some paths take us to sinful and foolish destinations. And other paths will take us to places of great blessing in Jesus Christ. When Christian in Pilgrim's Progress took the wrong path, he ended up in Giant Despair's Doubting Castle, where he suffered much because he wandered off of God's path onto the wrong path. Whenever Christian stayed on that straight and narrow path, then he was blessed. It brought him to the hill where the cross was, where the burden of his sin rolled off his shoulders. It brought him to Interpreter's House, where he learned many incredible truths to encourage his faith in the journey that lay ahead. And of course, he also found the armor of God that would protect him against the attacks of Apollyon. Well, as we stand at the threshold of the year 2014, my greatest desire for you and for me as well is that we stay on God's right path, the straight path that leads to God's blessings. But the question is, how do we get there? How do we make sure that we're going down those straight paths of God and not wandering astray into some of the side roads that will lead to despair and destruction? Well, we are blessed because our verses tell us this morning how to get on God's path. It will show us the blessing of the straight path And it will also give us three keys to finding those straight paths. And that's what we'll look at this morning. So let's begin actually by looking at the end of verse 6, the destination, at least within our earthly lives. And that is, he will make your path straight. That's the goal. That's what we want. That's what we need in the year 2014. We need these straight paths of God. Well, what are straight paths anyway? Well, straight paths, according to the Hebrew nuance of the word straight, means that they are smooth and they are easy paths to follow without confusing forks in the road, free of detours or obstacles that block our way. Straight paths are the best way to get you to the destination of the blessing of God. The opposite of straight paths are crooked paths, and they will take you down a roller coaster experience. You may be on a mountaintop on one day and down in the valley of despair on the next. The crooked paths will run you around in circles like you're on a merry-go-round. And you won't make any progress, so you're putting forth a lot of effort and a lot of movement, but there's no progress. You're just going around and around and around in circles. Crooked paths will lead you astray. They will lead you down the wrong way, onto a highway of sin. Crooked paths will waste months or years of your life. They will devour your happiness. They will promise a treasure at the end of the rainbow, but instead they will lead you into the darkness of the storm itself. Crooked paths lead to pain, shame, sin, and sorrow. So we need the straight paths of God. The straight paths that Solomon speaks of here indicate success and prosperity in temporal things. That's part of the context of the book of Proverbs, that God will give you straight paths and your life will be outwardly blessed temporally and in terms of the outward aspects of your life. But there's also an inner moral, spiritual quality to these straight paths. In other words, the straight paths not only encompass your outer man, but also your inner man. These straight paths that Solomon refers to here refers to a life that's being directed by God, a life that's making good progress in the things of God, enjoying the blessings of God and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the blessed and the happy life, those who walk down the straight paths of God. Now, this does not mean in the context of the book of Proverbs or of the context of the Bible as a whole, that if you're on the straight path, that means you're going to have a trouble-free life. Sometimes it could imply that, but certainly not always. Your circumstances of life may have a lot of potholes in them, a lot of detours, a lot of roadblocks, a lot of sitting in traffic jams, wondering when the world is a progress going to be made, or a lot of obstacles. Your life may seem like it's on a roller coaster or a merry-go-round, but your heart and your soul can still be walking on God's straight paths. You understand the difference. The straight paths of God is not just always limited to outward and financial and success and prosperity and health. Sometimes it includes that, but it certainly touches upon the issue of the soul. The straight paths of God are the joy and the peace and the fruit of the Spirit within our heart. So even though your life may be in turmoil on the inside in your heart, you can be walking on the straight paths of God. You can be moving onward and upward in God's blessings and have God's grace and have His peace and joy and blessing in your life. So that even though God's providence may ordain some rocks in your path, or some difficult climbing, or some slippery slopes, or some loose scree, is still the path that's going to take you to the summit. And even though outwardly you may be suffering, inwardly you can still be walking in the joy of God's straight paths. So that though you're facing challenges in your life, because you know and are in the Word of God, and because you can evaluate those trials and troubles by God's truth, you can walk in the straight paths of God. In other words, this is life in the eye of the hurricane. The straight paths of God encompass that as well. So that even though we're seeing barns and cows flying around in the storm around us, nevertheless, we're in God's peace. We're in His calm. We look straight up and see the sun in the clear sky. This is the straight path of God. It's like Paul and Silas, who, though they were in prison, not a fun part of their life, nevertheless, they were singing praises of God. So this is the straight path of God. Sometimes you can find it even when you're in prison. Even when outwardly you're on the crooked path, inwardly you can be in the straight paths, the smooth way of the Lord. Well, again, who gives these straight paths? Well, in verse 6 it says, He will make your paths straight. That is, the Lord does. This is God's blessing to His people. This is not a self-help seminar. We don't just roll up our shirt sleeves and do it in our own strength. Nevertheless, having said that, God gives straight paths to those who live their life in certain ways. In other words, God has given us the means by which we can bulldoze down our obstacles and our roadblocks and our frustrations in life. And though those circumstances may not change, our inner man is not subject to the suffering of those circumstances. We can walk in God's peace and joy. So this is the way, this is the path, so that even though in the coming year, I don't know what lays ahead of your life, I don't know what's in front of my life, but it really doesn't matter whether it's God's smiling providence or God's frowning providence. You can walk down God's straight paths. You can experience in your soul the smooth sailing in the waters of His Word by the wind of His Spirit. But to get to that blessed lifestyle, to find those straight paths, the wisdom of God through Solomon says we first must live by these three keys that he gives us in verse 5 and verse 6. These are the secrets or the keys revealed by God that if we walk in them, then God will give us straight paths. And let's examine these three keys to finding the straight paths, the blessed path of God Almighty. Let's start back up in verse 5. Number 1, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This leads to that straight path of God, that life of blessing, that life of the inner calm, living in the eye of the hurricane. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Charles Bridges, one of the Puritans, calls this text the pole star, the north star of the child of God. And this will be good counsel for you as you live your life in the year 2014. The nature of trust, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust is a confident reliance on God. That's what trust is. A confident reliance on God, especially faith in God's providence, faith in God's promises, and faith in God's grace to sustain you. We trust in God's character, that He is a good God, a wise God, and a sovereign God who controls all the circumstances of our life. It's a childlike, unwavering trust and confidence in our Father. Trust in the Lord. That's what is the first key to walking in the straight paths of God. But notice he adds here in verse 5 that we're to trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of it, but with all your heart. In other words, we're to trust God entirely with all of our heart, because trust is ultimately a heart issue. It goes down to the core of what our heart does. Our heart should not be divided. It should not be double-minded like a man who's unstable in all of his ways. We're to trust in God with all of our heart. Whatever portion of my heart is not trusting in God, that part will go the way of the flesh and will ultimately be like the dead fly in the perfume. We're to trust God with all of our heart. Sometimes it's easy for us to trust God in some parts of our heart. We can trust God maybe for our finances and maybe for our job. But sometimes it's hard to trust God with our kids. We may be able to trust God in the areas of direction in certain aspects of our life, but we may not be able to trust God in working through problems in our marriage. What Solomon says is we need to trust God with all of our heart, with every bit of it. And if we do that, then the opposite is don't trust in the wisdom of the world or put confidence in the flesh. Trust in God. Remember the Apostle Paul, before he was actually saved, for a while put his trust and confidence in his own flesh. He trusted in his education. He trusted in his pedigree. He trusted in the fact that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees and as to the law, blameless. And he thought surely that would get him to heaven. But later he saw the folly of such a trust and counted it all as rubbish. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. Don't trust in your riches or your strength or your wisdom, because we are weak and easily misled by our passions and our lusts. Do not trust in your own heart, for it's more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand his own heart? Why would you trust in your heart or your feelings? I love what Proverbs 28:26 says. Very simply, it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. That's just putting it bluntly, isn't it? Don't trust in your heart. Don't trust in your righteousness or your goodness. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 115 says, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. And I love Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So trust in the Father. Trust in God the Father to bless you both temporally, spiritually, and eternally. Trust in God the Son and his blood to save you and forgive you and justify you. Trust in God the Holy Spirit to finish the work of grace that he has begun in your heart, because he promised that he will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you trust in the Lord with all your heart when we go to the Word of God and review the character of God and we believe it and we bring that truth into our daily life. That's when you trust in the Lord with all your heart. And of course, you cannot do that unless you're in the Word regularly. I don't know if you've read through the Bible in a year lately. Why don't you do it in the year 2014? Why don't you commit yourself to immerse yourself in the Word of God and try to read through the Bible throughout this year? Because you trust in the Lord with all your heart. When you go to the Word of God, review the character of God, and you believe it, and bring that truth into your daily life. And you can't do that without a daily dose of the Word of God. So consider challenging yourself with that goal. And by the way, do you know that you can measure how much you trust in the Lord? You can actually measure that by how much worry and how much anxiety and how many fears and how much frustration you experience in your life. Because when you're trusting in God, when you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, then you're going to have God's peace and you're going to have His inner calm and you're going to have confidence that He is in control and that He works all things for His glory and for your good in your life if you trust in the Lord. When we don't trust in the Lord, and I'm guilty of not trusting in the Lord sometimes, then my life becomes like a balloon. And all the stresses and all the tension and all the troubles begin to blow into my life. And my life begins to swell up. And it begins to experience a buildup of pressure. And the tension increases. And my life, like a balloon, becomes hard and it becomes irritable. And the bigger it gets, the more tension there is, then the other people around me becomes tense and stressed out because they know I'm about ready to burst at any moment. And so it makes them tense and irritable because I'm like a big old fat balloon just ready to pop. And that's what life is when you're not trusting in the Lord. And all that stress has no outlet. And all those fears and all those concerns just blow into our life, but they don't go anywhere. But those who trust in the Lord, it's like taking that balloon and putting your fingers on the neck, and then you just squeak out a little song, a little noise. And all that air, all that pressure, all that tension is just gradually released, and the balloon, it begins to relax and sag down and come a little softer. And suddenly life is so much better when we're trusting in the Lord. So those who trust in the Lord and in the guidance of His Word will be blessed with God's straight paths. Paul wanted to go preach the gospel in Bithynia, but the Spirit of God said no. So here he had a deal. Does he trust in God to guide him? Even though he had his heart set on going into Bithynia, he could have been disappointed. He could have had a little temper tantrum. But no, he chose to trust in the Lord with all of his heart. And he obeyed and he went to Troas and got his vision. And God took him to Macedonia. He had a great ministry in Macedonia. Saw incredible fruit for the glory of God, because he trusted in God's guidance. And maybe you're in your life. Maybe you have your plans, your heart set on doing this or going here. But God has put a roadblock there. That's okay. Though your outer circumstances are full of chuggles and roadblocks, I'm talking about the straight paths in your soul. And if you trust in God and in His guidance, and you go with the direction of the Lord, then you can still find the straight paths of God. Peter did the same thing. He initially doubted whether or not Jesus knew what he was talking about. After a hard night of fishing and they caught nothing, they came to the shore in the morning and Jesus said, "Well, get back in your boat, go back out into deep water and cast your net." Well, Peter was a businessman. He was a professional fisherman. He knew at that time of day was not the best time to catch fish. "Lord, do you even know what you're talking about? Are you sure you're telling me to do this and live my life this way? But okay, Lord, I'll trust you and I'll obey." And he trusted and obeyed, and you know the story. He went out into deep water. He cast his nets, and they caught so many fish. They loaded up two boatfuls, and the two boats had so many fish they began to sink. So even though you don't understand what God is doing in your life, trust Him and He will make your path straight. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart is the first key to finding God's straight paths. Trust Him in this year. The second thing that Solomon tells us that we need to do in order to be blessed with these straight paths is do not lean on your own understanding. So trusting God with all of our heart is trusting God entirely. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's trusting God exclusively. In other words, don't trust God partially and then trust in your understanding. No, you trust in God totally, exclusively. Now, this is not anti-intellectual when he says, do not lean on your own understanding. Psalm is not saying you put your mind on a shelf in the Christian life. He simply means that the natural man, the natural thinking, the mind of the flesh cannot give you any help in finding the right path. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2 when he said that a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So the fleshly man thinks he can figure it out. He trusts in his own thinking, his own understanding. And really, that's kind of our position by default. Now, we could trust in our understanding prior to the fall of Adam, before sin entered the world. The mind was unaffected by sin, and so it could be a guide in reflecting the law of God written upon our hearts. But after the fall of Adam and Eve into sin and the curse upon the human nature and the human mind, our minds are an unreliable guide. The minds are now full of futility and we're darkened in our understanding and it's a false guide. That's why Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is what? The way of death. So do not lean on your own understanding. The word to lean means to, like it's used often of leaning on a staff or an older person leaning on another person for support. So what Solomon is saying here is do not lean for support or rely on or put your weight on your own thinking in and of by itself apart from the Word of God. Really, that's what Rehoboam did in the Old Testament. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon who was inheriting the kingdom. And when he wanted to become, when he was thinking through how to rule over his kingdom, he brought in the council of the young men, and they counseled for him to make the life of the people harder, make their yoke heavier, their taxes more burdensome. And then he brought in the counsel of the old men who said, no, lighten their burdens and they will love you and you will do well. Rehoboam leaned on his own understanding. He did not seek the Lord. He went with the thinking of the foolish young men to make the life of the people harder, and he paid us a terrible price. 10 of those tribes defected and no longer called him their king. And in 2 Chronicles, it says that Rehoboam did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Don't trust in your mind. Our mind is very much given to deceive us when it's not being guided by God's Word. Do not lean on your own naked understanding. And the reason why I say that is because I think many of us can justify a lot of sin in our minds. It's our nature to do that. You can find the young man or the old man, for that matter, that can browse internet porn, but in his mind he says, you know, I won't be affected by that. They deceive themselves, of course, like Samson who played his sensual game with Delilah and lost his hair. And then he lost his strength, and then he lost his eyes. And David reasoned on top of his palace that he could watch Bathsheba bathe naked over on another roof. Well, that's not going to bother me. That's not going to hurt me. After all, I'm here, she's over there. Nothing's going to happen. But the more he looked, the more his lust began to take over until he committed adultery. Then he committed murder. And then he lost a child in the process. Don't trust your mind. Your sinful, fleshly mind can deceive you and lead you into much sin. Don't trust your feelings either. This is kind of a part of it. A mother may not feel like disciplining her children, but she should for their sake out of love. A church may feel like to draw more people, they need to accommodate unbiblical and worldly methods of worship. But that's not going to help and glorify, it won't glorify God either. We're to trust God exclusively and not trust our understanding. And of course, there's no greater area in which this applies than the area of salvation. Do not think that you can get to heaven because you're good. Do not think that God is going to open up the gates of heaven because you're righteous or because you're keeping certain moral laws. That won't get you to heaven. No. We trust in the Lord. We trust in God's provision. We trust in Jesus Christ. We trust in His shed blood to pay the penalty for our sins. That is the only thing that satisfies the wrath of God. Nothing that I can do. Nothing in my hands I bring. Solely to Thy cross I cling. That's God's way. That's what we trust in. We are to cultivate our understanding, of course, by immersing it in the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So don't trust in your own understanding, but rather trust in the Word of God to guide your thinking, to inform you and guide you in the path that will honor God. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So don't trust your own thinking. Bring it to the Scripture. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Trust that. Don't trust just in the thinking and the understanding of your flesh. This will lead to the dark side, but trusting God will lead to the straight path of God. The third thing that Solomon tells us that we need to commit our souls and our lives to in order to find God's straight paths is found in the first part of verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So if we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, which is to trust God entirely, and if we're not to lean on our own understanding, which is to trust God exclusively, here we're to trust God exhaustively. That is, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge in the Hebrew, yada, is actually to know Him. It just means to know God in all your ways. And what this implies is have a personal knowledge and relationship of God and bring that into every area of your life. Have an intimate experience of walking with the Lord and being guided by His Word in all your ways, in every area. And of course, this implies that we need to know the Word of God if we're to live it out in obedience. We're to make the Word of God our counselors. That's how we, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him or know Him. Of course, this knowledge must be in all of our ways. We're not to acknowledge Christ's lordship just over certain areas of our life. And don't we find this easy to do? I think we can all find ourselves just kind of drifting into acknowledging the lordship of Christ in the easy areas of our life, but not really seeking and committing to the lordship of Christ in all areas of our life. For example, you can acknowledge and know the Lord's lordship over your religious life, but maybe not in your family life, maybe not in your recreation, maybe not in your marriages, maybe not in your businesses or your education or your careers or your finances or your friendships or your future. But we're to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. I love that quote from Abraham Kuyper, that Dutch theologian that I enjoy so much. He says, in the total expanse of human life, there's not a single square inch of which Christ does not declare, it is mine. And it is our duty to acknowledge God, to know God, to know His Word and to obey His Word in all of our ways. And that will lead to walking down God's straight paths. Nothing is too great or small. We are to know God and acknowledge God in our day-to-day routine matters of life. So bring all your trials and know God and acknowledge God in your trials. You have plans for the new year. Maybe you've given thought to certain goals you want to accomplish. Make sure you acknowledge God and you know God and you're seeking God's direction in those goals and those plans. Maybe you have hopes and dreams of accomplishing certain things. Acknowledge the Lord and put Him first. Bring all your concerns, temporal and eternal, to Him. Remember the Lord in all your ways. Know Him. Because whatever areas we do not bring under the Lordship of Christ and know His Word and follow His Word in, that area of my life will be tempted to be hijacked by the enemy and used to lead us away from the straight path. Well, where are you today? Are you on God's straight path? Or are you on the crooked path? Well, if you're on the crooked path in areas of your life, there's great hope and there's great encouragement for you. God can help you to get off that path and to get on God's straight path. By following these three directives of trusting in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. And even though you're a prodigal this morning, and even though you have wandered far away from the Father's house, and you are now reaping the consequences of a foolish life, squandering the blessings of God, there is a way back. You turn your heart back to God, and you begin to trust Him. And you begin to acknowledge Him. And you begin to know Him in all areas of your life. Just like the prodigal in the pig pen. I will rise up and I will go back to my Father. And you get up. And you turn to the Lord. And you ask the Lord to get you out of your pig pen. And to bring you back into His house. And He will lead you in the pathway back to the Father's house. The straight path of blessing. The straight path of prosperity and success, the straight path of inner joy and peace and contentment in the Lord. And even though our outward circumstances may be a prison cell, yet with Paul and Silas, you can sing a new song to the Lord if you're walking on the straight paths of God. Well, Hezekiah felt like he was in a prison. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 18, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had come and invaded Judah and besieged Jerusalem and locked them all up, basically inside the city of Jerusalem. And there his captain began to mock the God of Israel and warn the people not to trust and believe Hezekiah, not to trust in God. And Hezekiah responded by tearing his clothes and covered him with sackcloth. And in that city of a prison, he found the straight paths of God. And how did he do it? Well, first, he trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. He was strengthened by the word of the Lord that Isaiah the prophet brought to him. And he believed in God's promise to deliver him. He trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. And secondly, he did not lean on his own understanding because there were many saying, hey, go form an alliance with Egypt. Go call on Egypt. They will come and they will rescue us. But he did not lean on the understanding of man. He did not form or forge an alliance with Egypt to help him. He did not resort to the wisdom of man or the wisdom of the world. He did not lean on his own understanding. And finally, in all of his ways, he acknowledged God. He went straight into the temple. He went into the house of the Lord, and There he cast himself down and he prayed to God and acknowledged God's greatness and sovereignty. That God was enthroned over the cherubim and he's the only sovereign Lord over all the kingdoms on earth. And Hezekiah prayed for God to deliver him from the hands of the Assyrians, that all the earth may know that he alone is the only true God. You see, in all of his ways, he acknowledged and knew God. And then God made his path straight. By his promise of deliverance, through Isaiah again, Hezekiah found God's peace and God's blessing in his heart. He found those straight paths in his soul. And just for a little extra blessing, just to add to that straight path, God sent the angel of the Lord to kill 185 Assyrians in the middle of the night. And suddenly the obstacle is removed, the prison doors open, and straight paths of prosperity and success lay ahead. Well, such straight paths ultimately come to us through following these three directives, trusting in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledging him, and then he will make your path straight. So this is our job for 2014. This is your homework. This is my homework. We're to take these three directives, and every day we're to pray for grace that we might draw closer to them, that God might give those straight paths, not only to our soul, but to our life in general. Of course, our greatest trust and the thing that really welds all of this together is our faith in Jesus Christ, that we're trusting in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only thing that can satisfy the wrath of God for my sin. So that we're saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. It's not by faith in Christ plus my obedience, plus my good works, plus my doing this or that. We are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. That is our hope. That is our confidence. This is our trust. And it's now our great privilege to focus our attention upon the work of Christ for us as he died on the cross, as our sinless substitute, bearing our sin, bearing God's wrath, that whoever believes upon him might not perish, but have everlasting life.